Today's daf is daf tzadi. We're going to start at the bottom of pei tet amud bet, the very, very bottom of the two dots, tana rabbanan. Always nice when the page ends like that. Okay, record to the mother, David Avram ben Miriam, Dvarah bat Dina, Orli Penina bat Rachel Frida, Yael Miriam bat Chaya, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Daphne Chaya bat Tzari, Lana Mir bat Dina, Reza bat Pesha, Rivka Avital bat Leah, Dvarah Chana, Leah bat Freda, Chaya Nomi, Dvarah bat Shulamit, Lilui Nishmat Chana bat Avram bat Tara, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Alevi Umelez, Yosef ben Tzvi Akoin, Oz Avram Shum ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Alevi Bechana. Okay, today we're going to deal with Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. We've been talking about that you're not allowed to muzzle your animal. You can't prevent him from eating while he's on the threshing floor. The first thing we have to know is that with the threshing, there's two different stages of the threshing. One is we do it earlier, right? You take out the shibolim, the stalks with the wheat, with the grain on it. Then they trample it. That's when we're talking about, basically. That's when the Isser of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho comes in at that stage. Then after that, it's already separated, and there's a few, they do the zoreh, which is where they throw it up in the air, and then also, the wheat and the chaff separate. There's different stages, and then they get to the Gemar Malacha, which we talked about the other day, in which case it becomes Chayav and Trumot and Masrot. And then you soak it in water, the grains, and then there's a later stage of threshing where they then try to get the peel off, like a little bit more of the peel off the grain. So now, we're going to talk now about what if, are you allowed to do Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho, like the Isra of Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho? Presumably it's not at that later stage of Disha. The real stage is the earlier stage of Disha, of the threshing, and the earlier stage, which is before it's Chayav and Trumot and Masro. Okay, so now we're going to say, Tanu Rabbanan, Parot HaMeraksot B'Tfu'a, V'Hadashot B'Truma U'Maser, Eino Over Mishum Bal Tachsom. Okay, so at this later stage, when you're talking about, so Rashi says, when it's already, okay, the tefuah that's already been soaked in water, and then you dry them out in the oven, and then you use the animals to get off the extra stuff. So that's already a later stage, and also in the Trumot Masrot, okay? If you're doing it when it's already, let's say you have a pile of Trumot Maser, and you're dash that, okay, you're threshing that. So there's no Isser of Bal Tachsom. We're going to see exactly what the Trumot Maser is. Because generally we assume, if Trumot HaMaaser had been taken at the later stage, we're going to say here that actually, we've seen this actually before, which is, could be a case where Hikdimo B'Shibolim, which means that even though you're supposed to take Trumot HaMaaser at a later stage, it could be this guy decided for whatever reason to separate out his Trumot HaMaaser while it was still a Shibolet, right? While it was still the stalks. Okay, so it could be that. So either you're doing the disha at the later stage of disha, which is not what the issue was relating to, or you're doing it on Trumot HaMaaser, which we'll see what the issue, why it's not an issue there. There's no issue of Bal Tachsom. Aval mipnei mar'ita ayin mevi bul me'oto amin. He brings a certain amount from the same type of stuff. Okay, let's say it's wheat, so he brings wheat. Vitolela betrust clean, shebefia, that's the picture I wanted you to see. Okay, he puts a little bag on the mouth of the animal. And with exactly whatever food, right? So the people don't think that you're muzzling your animal in a way that's forbidden, even though, right, it's just maradai and it's not really forbidden, because this isn't the typical classic case. And therefore, you should put the same amount of food, though, just so people don't suspect you that you're trying to prevent your animal from eating your stuff, with the same type of stuff. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer mevi karshinin v'tolala. Now, there's a different. Some people say it dafka has to be karshinin, okay, which is vetch, which there's also a picture there of exactly what it is. It's some sort of very nutritious type of food for animals, some sort of plant. So he says that's the best nutritious food for the animal, so put that in the bag. Some people say that what he means is he's not disagreeing with Tanakama, but he's saying, right, Tanakama said it has to be the oto amin, exactly what they're threshing. He's saying, well, it could either be the same mean or it could be something that's even better than that mean. Okay, so two ways of understanding Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Okay, now the Gemara is going to have a problem with this braita. What do we mean he? Parot ha-meraksot b'tfuah, Eino over mishum bal tachsom. V'hadash. Okay, so if they're merakso b'tefillah, so far we're the same, right? A raminhu means we're going to have a contradiction. So this source says if they're in the tefillah at the later stage, there's no isur bal tachsom. V'hadashot b'truma u'maaser. What did we say before, right? They're not over on bal tachsom. What does this one say? Over mishum bal tachsom. So there's our contradiction. Okay, here it says if it's truma u'maaser that they're threshing, then you're not allowed to muzzle it, whereas before we said you are. So we'll get to this in a minute. In the meantime, we're in the middle of the Braita, so we'll continue reading the whole Braita, even though that was the relevant part. V'nochri hadash b'parato shel Yisrael eino over mishum bal tachsom. If a nochri takes my animal and muzzles it while it's threshing, okay, then there's no isur bal tachsom because he took my animal. It's the nochri who did the act of basically taking it to thresh and muzzled it. But Yisrael hadash b'paratos shel nochri over mishum bal tachsom. If I took a nochri's animal, then I'm forbidden to muzzle it. Okay. Anyway, back to our issue. Kashya truma. Truma and kashya maaser maaser, right? They've talked about truma and maaser. We're now, they're already splitting them because we're going to see that the answer is going to be easier for one than for the other. Even though it was all truma and maaser in one, right, in one bundle there, but now we're going to say there's a contradiction, right? You would have just said simply, it says there truma maaser is okay, and there truma maaser is not okay. It's a contradiction, but they're already setting up the ground for what's going to be now, which is that there's a problem with truma and there's a problem with maaser. Bishlama truma, truma lo kashya. Truma is very simple. Why? There's no problem. Kam bitruma, vikam bigidule truma. What is gidule truma? That's if you take truma and instead of giving it to the kohen, you replant it. That's called gidule truma, which is not asur midoraita, but it's not asur to eat midoraita, but it is asur midorabanan, because they didn't want people trying to avoid getting out of truma by replanting it, and oh, now we can eat the truma. Now remember, what's the story with truma? No one can eat it except the kohen. It's kodesh, right? There's all sorts of issues with it. And therefore, when it's truma, mamash, so you can muzzle your animal because your animal's not allowed to eat truma. Only the kohanim can eat truma. But when it's only gidule truma and it's only isur derabanan, what's the issue here? On the one hand, we have an isur midoraita. This is a very interesting issue because you have a conflict of interest. There's one isur derabanan, you're not allowed to muzzle your animal. You have to allow him to eat. There's another isur derabanan of allowing your animal to eat truma. So when it's derabanan of isur truma versus lo tachsom, so isur truma is going to win out. Once it goes down to a derabanan level, well, then lo tachsom shor b'disho is going to be applicable, and you can't muzzle your animal. So when it's gidule truma, we're going to say you can't muzzle your animal. Now, that works very fine for truma, that answer. But what's the problem? Maaser does not have that same status, that if someone eats it, it's so severe, right? There's not such an issue by maaser. So ela maaser a maaser kasha. Now, notice it doesn't say which maaser. Is it maaser Rishon? Is it maaser Sheni? Remember the differences, right? Maaser Rishon is for the Levi. Now, even if you say it's for the Levi, it's still not hekdesh, right? It doesn't, although we'll see. Maybe there's a machloka when it comes to maaser Sheni. But okay, so maaser Rishon, nobody thinks is Mamon Gavoa. Okay, right? Mamon Gavoa would mean hekdesh. But it goes to the Levi. The maaser Sheni, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. And we're going to see soon that there's a machloket about whether that's considered hekdesh or not, whether it's mamon gavoh or it's mamon hedyo. So right now we're going to say the first attempt to resolve the contradiction is going to say the chi tema. Now chi tema is always going to be, right, if you want to say, this isn't going to work. So if you want to say maaser amaser nami lo kasha kam b'maaser kam b'gidule maaser. Okay, so if you want to start to say just like you said by truma, there's maaser, and then there's the replanted maaser. So bishlama gidule truma, we understand it makes sense when you're talking about gidule truma, because gidule truma is truma. Okay? Ela, gidule maaser chulin ninhu. But gidule maaser are not even anything. In other words, it was one thing to tell us, in gidule truma, there's an isra of lo tachsom, because gidule truma are considered truma, so you might have thought that trumps truma, that trumps lo tachsom, but no, it's only derabanan, so it doesn't. But gidule maaser doesn't have any status of maaser, so there'd be no point to have a braita to tell you some unique halacha about gidule maaser. If you replant your maaser, it's nothing. It's totally chulin. So therefore, no issue. That can't be it. Ditznan, how do we know this? Gidule tevel, v'gidule maser sheni, chulin. Okay, there's a Mishnah that says explicitly that. If you replant tevel, which is stuff that you never took truma to maser from, right, you didn't yet take care of it, or you replanted maser sheni, it becomes chulin entirely. Ella, so that answer wouldn't work to say maser, gidule maser, because gidule maser is basically like anything regular, which there's no special, right? Everybody knows that in lo tachzom shor b'disho, there's no chiddush. So Ella, lo kashya, let's try this one. Ha b'maser rishon, ha b'maser sheni. The b'maser rishon, what are we going to say? Maser rishon is mamon hedyo. Because it's mamon hedyo, therefore lo tachzom, when your animal can eat the maser rishon. But when it comes to maser sheni, remember also, right, it's kodesh, and it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So there you can muzzle your animal, okay? You're allowed to. That's one answer. V'ibay tema, or alternatively, you could say, hava hava maser sheni. Both are regards maser sheni. By the way, you see here one of the problems with just saying maser, right? In other words, nobody knows which maser are you talking about. It should have been more clear. This is one of the major problems, right? That Tanaitic sources don't spell everything out. And then everyone has to try to guess, what are we talking about? So now they suggest, no, both are maser sheni. V'lo kasha, ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. Ha Rabbi Meir d'amar maser sheni mamon gavoa. V'ha Rabbi Yehuda d'amar maser sheni mamon hedyotu. It's the machloka Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. So one brighter was written in the school of thought of Rabbi Meir, who said that it's maser is mamon gavoa, in which case we're going to say, you're allowed to muzzle your animal because the animal can't eat the maser sheni. It's mamon gavoa. And Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the other source who says maser sheni is mamon hedyot, which means you're not allowed to muzzle the animal because he actually can eat the maser sheni. And then they ask, hey chidami, what's this case of maser that we're even talking about? Because if you remember, the whole issue of lo tachzom doesn't even come up. The whole maser issue, we assume, is a later stage. And when you're at that later stage, we just said in the beginning of today's lesson, the Parot HaMerak Sopetvua, if they're doing the dash of the later stage of dash, there's no issur at all of lo tachzom. So what could we even be talking about? Especially since one of the sources says there is an issur of lo tachzom. So the answer, it must be, like I said earlier in the shir, kegon sheikdimo b'shibolim. It's a case where the guy took maaser at an earlier stage. And then we get into this whole debate, is maaser an issue, is it not, is it, right? Either we're talking about different maaserot, or it's a machloka Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, about maaser sheni. Okay. Ula Rabbi Yehuda, now according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's mamon hedyot, even if you say it's mamon hedyot, v'ha bai choma, right? Doesn't it need to be within the walls of the city of Jerusalem? In other words, you might say, this is mamon hedyot, the animal's allowed to eat it. However, it still needs to be eaten only in Jerusalem, and that's not an issue only for people, it's also for animals. And the maser sheni food has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, in the walls of Yerushalayim. So how could you possibly say that it's okay for the animal to eat this stuff outside Yerushalayim? So obviously, what are they going to answer? Kigon shedash lefnim michamat beit pagi. It was a case where the animal was within the walls of Jerusalem. Okay, and that resolves the issue. Ibait ema. Alternatively, you could say a whole different answer. Okay, because of that question of Rabbi Yehuda, where it doesn't make sense that you can't muzzle your animal when it comes to maser, because he should be allowed to eat, right? Because he's allowed to eat the maser. So now, what are we going to say? Ibai dema lo kasha kam b'maser vadai kam b'maser demai. Maybe this is a better answer. One is talking about where it's maser vadai, in which case you can prevent the animal from eating it because he's not in Yerushalayim and it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And the other one, which says he's allowed to eat it, right, is talking about demai. Now, what's demai? Demai is, we don't know what its status is. It's suffix. And why is it suffix generally? Because it belongs to an Am Haaretz, and we don't know if the Am Haaretz took maser or not. So now the Gemara says, well, if that's going to be your answer, we've seen this term before. Hashi da'ati lahachi imkvar, you're giving that answer. So let's go back. Truma, truma nami lo kasha. Why don't we say the same answer by truma? Remember, we had a good answer for truma in the beginning. But now, right, remember our answer by truma? Right, what was the answer? Because? Right, one is Joe, right? So, right, it's truma versus gidule truma. It's not the greatest answer because it does say truma. It doesn't say gidule truma. So they're going to say, why don't you give the same answer here? Kamba truma badai, kamba truma tamai. So then they're going to answer very obviously, which we've seen before, which is bishlam amaser demai ika. Ela truma demai mi ika. Okay, what do you mean? There is no truma demai because, if you remember, the Yamea Aretz are suspect of, they don't take masrot, but they do take truma, if you remember this. We've seen it before, we'll see it now inside. Vahatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, afhu bitelet avidoi, Vigazara lat Adamai. Forgot who this was. Who's the who? One second. Apu Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Okay, in Masechet Sotah, we saw this. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Mevatel Vidoy Maser. What's the Vidoy Maser we talked about the other day, where you say at the end of the fourth year and the seventh year, at the beginning of the fourth year and the seventh year, you say, I took care of all my Masro. What was the problem? A lot of people weren't taking Masro. So they were in essence lying when they said this Vidoy, right? So he didn't want people lying, so he canceled Vidoy. People just don't say it, he said, because there are going to be people who lie, and we don't want people, you know, swearing that they took all their stuff when they didn't. V'gazar al Adamai, and he made a gzera on Demai. Lefisha shalach b'chol gvul Yisrael. He did a survey. Okay, right? He did a seker of the people. V'ra'a shelo hayu mafrishin ela truma gdola b'vad. And what do you see here? They were doing truma gdola, but they weren't doing masra. Okay. So now, but if they don't do masra, right? What's the story? They took Truma Gedola, but what didn't they take that was Truma? Truma Maaser. Do you remember what happens? You take Truma Gedola, first you give it to the Kohen, right? Either 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, depending on how generous you want to be. Then you give a tenth to the Levi. From that, the Levi has to be Mafrish, a tenth to the Kohen of what he gets. So within, right, if these people who are Amei Aretz, who take the Truma Gedola, but they don't take Trumat Maaser. So now the obvious answer is going to be, maybe this Truma is the Trumat Maaser. Okay? So, Ela lo kasha, kam b'Trumat Maaser, vadai, kam b'Trumat Maaser, demai. Okay, so now they end up saying, well, you can answer the Truma to say, this Trumat Maaser, vadai, versus Trumat Maaser, demai. Okay, so Trumat Maaser that came from a demai situation. So there you can have it, and therefore that's their answer now for the Truma, which it's not clear whether they say we don't agree with our original answer, but they're giving another possible answer, or maybe they're saying this is a better answer than the earlier one. So in the end, we found a case of Truma, which could be Demai, which is the Truma Maser part of the stuff. Okay, Baumi Neymar Rav Shesha. Now we're going to have a whole series of questions, which are really all addressing the concept of lo tachsom shor b'dishoy, the isur itself. They're pushing the limits to see what exactly is the issue here and what kind of an act it is, and can you do this act, well, at the very end we'll get to, can you do it in words? Can you do it, what if it was already muzzled? Do you have an isur to thresh it? Okay, we're going to have all sorts of questions that kind of try to figure out what exactly is the isur here. Ba'ami name Rav Sheshet. Hayta ochelet umatrezet. Mahu. Let's say the animal was eating while it was threshing, because you allowed it to, and then it started having stomach problems from the food that it was eating, and it wasn't healthy for the animal. So are you allowed to muzzle it? So, mishum dema'ale lahu. Now, is it because it's good for the animal, and that's why you're not allowed to muzzle it, because it's good for the animal to be eating? V'halo ma'ale la. And in this case, it's not good for the animal, and therefore you're allowed to muzzle it. O Dilma de Chazi Umitzara. Or does it have to be, right? This is so great. If you think about kids, right? They want to eat something, but it's not good for them, right? So if you prevent them from eating it, you're actually doing something good for them, right? However, if they really want it at that moment and you're not allowing them to have it, they're going to be very unhappy with you. They don't see the long term as, oh, in the end, I'm going to get a stomachache and I'm going to feel really miserable and, you know, it's going to be bad for me. Like, let's say, okay, it's Hanukkah right now, right? Let's say they eat 10 sufganiyot, right? You say, if you eat 10 sufganiyot, you're going to get totally sick. But if you prevent them from eating it, they're going to be upset right then. So is the issue that you shouldn't upset the animal? This animal doesn't understand the connection between the fact that he's eating and it's causing him to have stomach problems. So is he's looking and saying, you're muzzling me. And that's, and it's almost part of this tsar bale chayim, right? That you're torturing the animal, and it's torture for the animal not to eat right now. Okay? So is it because of chazya umitztara? He sees that you're muzzling him and he's upset. And in this case, vaha chazya umitztara, he is upset. Amar le Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet tries to bring an answer. What does he say? Tani tua, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, mevi karshinim betolala, shar karshinim yafot la mina kol. So what do you learn from here? That what's the issue? What's the most important thing here for the animal? Is it good for the animal, right? The karshinim are the most nutritious for it. So clearly, shmamina mishum demale lahu. This is all what's good for the animal. Not what the animal thinks is good for it, but what's actually good for the animal. Ibaya lahu. Another question. Maushi omar adam lenochri. Can you tell a nochri chasom parati vidoshba? Okay? So now there's a really good question. Mi amrinan ki amrinan amira lenochri shvut. Hane mili leinyan shabbat di isur skila. Aval chasima di isur lav lo. Odil maloshna. Okay, now we get to the classic case of Shabbat. Shabbos goy, right? And there's a whole issue. Telling a nochri to do something for you on Shabbat is shvut. What does shvut mean? Asher midurabanan. Okay? It's forbidden midurabanan to tell a nochri to do something for you. That's why in cases where Shabbos goy is permitted, right, it's actually quite complicated. But in a case where it is permitted, you can't say it. You have to hint at it. You have to allude to it. You can't actually say, go do this for me. Okay, there's also all sorts of issues about when it can be done, when it can't. It's a very complicated sugya. Anyway, the whole question here is fabulous. What does it say? Is amira la'aklum, or amira la'nochri, a shvut, only for Shabbat, because Shabbat is isra skila, and it's so chamor that you can't even tell a nochri to do it? And therefore, when it comes to lo tachsom shor b'disho, if you have a nochri who works for you, you know, you have a, not called a Shabbos goy, but a threshing goy, let's call him, right? So you have your nochri do your work for you in the fields, right? This happens in Israel a lot, right? There's fields that are worked by farm workers. And can you tell them to go do it and muzzle the animal, right? Is that allowed? Because it's only an Isur lav. And it's not Isur skila, right? Lo tachsom shor b'disho is a lav. Odil maloshna, or do we say no, there's no distinction? You can't ask a nochri to do anything for you that you can't do yourself, right? If it's forbidden to you, you can't have a nochri do it for you. It's a great question, right? Very basic. So tashma, let's learn from our bright that we saw before. Remember, we weren't really focusing on this, but now that we quoted it, right, we're going to quote it again. Nochri hadash beparato shel Yisrael eino ver mishum bal tachsom. Now, what does it say there that they're going to try to darshan? Eino over mishum bal tachsom. What does that mean? He's not over on the lava bal tachsom, but what are they going to derive from here? Ma'avar hu delo avar. It's not isur mida oraita. Ha isur ra'ika, but it doesn't say it's mutar. It just says he's not over on lo tachsom, which seems to imply, but it's forbidden mida rabbanan. Okay? Like the patur of al asur in Shabbat that we saw so many times. So what are the answer? No, you can't darshan from there because bidinu di isurinami leka. Really, you could claim that there's no isur at all. So why did it say, right, lo eino over? Because remember, there were two sentences there, right? So aide detana seifa di Israel hadash b'paratosh al nukhri over, tana resha eino over. Now they're going to say, you can't darshan that language. If you just had that one sentence, you could say that. Eino over means he's not over, but it's Asur, midrabanan. But why did it say eino over? Because the next line said Yisrael who takes the nochris and muzzles it is over. So it's using eino over l'umat over. And therefore you can't say it has anything to do with, is it like patur val asur kind of thing. Okay, so you can't darshan anything and therefore we can't conclude from here anything. Next attempt, tashma. Dishachule lavua de Shmuel. Okay, they asked the father of Shmuel a question. Halin Tore, these shvarim, a tor is a shore, because again, tef and shin switch all the time. These shvarim, digan vin aramai, umigan chin yaton. Okay, now there's an issue. The first thing you have to know is, it's a sur l'sares, to castrate an animal. It's forbidden. So there were these cases, now there's a lot of strange interpretations of this, based on the fact that it says, ganavin aramai, aramai are the non-Jews. They would steal the animals of the Jews, they would castrate them, and then presumably they would give them back to the Jews. Okay, now why would they do such a thing, right? It seems strange. Okay, we're going to see I'll give you a few interpretations. The basic, which seems to make the most sense to me, is that they're helping out the Jews. Mm-hmm. In other words, what are they doing? They pretend to steal the animal, they castrate it, and then they return it to the Jews. Because they knew that the Jews can't castrate the animals. Now, what's the issue with castration of animals? An animal's going to work better if it's castrated. So therefore, it's in the Jews' best interest to castrate the animal. However, there's an issue to do it. So because there's an issue to do it, but the non-Jew, right? So what did they do in this area? They asked this question about them. So these animals that were castrated by the non-Jews, and they were returned to the Jews, mahu. Okay, what's the story? That seems to be the basic. What's the problem with this gisha, or problem, non-problem, right? First of all, it's interesting to note, if we assume that this is the interpretation, there's some sugyas that approach non-Jews as if they're out to kill us all the time, right? And they're our enemies, and they're always doing bad things for us. But there's other ones like this, and there's a bunch of others, that show that there were non-Jews who were trying to help Jews out with their halachic issues, right? They were trying to help them override, you know, loopholes, right? And get around our halachic issues, and they would do things. Even like Amir al-Akum, right? They were, you know, Shabbos Goy, it's the same thing. So it could be that other people, first of all, the word ganavin sounds a little negative. So some people claim that they actually did steal them and then castrated them, and then somehow they got returned. I'm trying to remember, there were a few bizarre interpretations of this. Oh, right, that was the weird one. Yes, thank you. I knew there was one strange one that I couldn't remember, which was that the Jews wrapped money around the testicles of the animal. The non-Jews would grab the money, and in doing so would castrate the animals. And right, yeah, that was a bizarre interpretation. I find it hard to accept that one. Anyway, it seems like it was really the non-Jews helping them out. So what's the halacha? Is that allowed? So shalach leh, what did Avuah d'Shmuel say? Now again, if this would be allowed, then what would you say? Amir al-Akum shvud is only by Shabbat. But now when it comes to not castrating animals, which is just a lav, and lo tachsom shor b'disho, which is just a lav. But what does he say? Shalach lehu, ha'arama yitavid behu. This is ha'arama, right? Which sometimes is okay, sometimes it wasn't. But he's saying this is a negative. They're just trying to get around things. Iyarume alayhu v'yizdabnun. We should trick them back, okay, and sell their animals. And what exactly this means, we're going to see later in the Gemara. There's going to be a bit of an explanation of this. But basically, the point for our purposes is this is not good. Okay, they can't do this. So Amara Papa, Benema Arava, Savrela Kirabi Chitka. So now Rav Papa comes and says, you can't, okay, so by the way, where are we right now? We're assuming that this was forbidden based on what Avuah d'Shmuel said. And therefore, it's forbidden to give your animal to a non-Jew to tell him to go thresh the animal and muzzle it, because it's the same thing as Shabbat, basically. But comes Rav Papa and he says, wait a minute. Where this went on, this was in Eretz Israel. And they hold like Rabbi Chitka. Damar, what does Rabbi Chitka say? This we'll see the sugya in Sanhedrin. B'nei Noach mitzuvin al asirus. Okay? That B'nei Noach, it's forbidden for them also to castrate animals. B'ka'avre mishum v'lifnei iver lo titei michshol. So therefore, if you give your animal to a non-Jew to castrate it, you're basically over on lifnei iver lo titei michshol. Okay? So therefore, you can't do this. Okay? What's this B'nai Noach? What do you mean? Aren't there just Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach? So we'll see the sugya when we get to Sanhedrin. But it says there, these are the seven things. And then it says that this guy added this one, and that guy added that one. So this magic number of seven is not necessarily the magic number seven. Okay? We always call it the magic number seven, but there were opinions that thought to add certain things to the list. Why specifically Sirus? I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about it when we get there to Sanhedrin. I didn't look it up well enough. Okay. So therefore, if that's the case, then you can't learn from Sirus to the Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho case, okay? In which case, we have no answer here. Sava Rava Lememar, so now we want to understand what's this Yimachru, okay? Yarume Alayu V'Yizdabnun. What does that mean? We should trick them and sell the animals. So Sava Rava Lememar, Rava thought that what did Avuah d'Shmuel mean, right? Obviously, they didn't exactly know what he meant, okay? So Rava thought that he meant Yimachru L'Shchita. They should be sold for shechting. Why? Because the whole idea to castrate the animal was to make the animal have a higher value for working. For shechting purposes, it makes no difference whether the animal's castrated or not. So sell it for shechita, in which case the added value of the castration isn't going to help him. Amar le Abaye, I don't think it necessarily has to be sold for shechita. I think you could sell it for anything. Because why? Dayan shekanasta alehem mechira. He says it's enough just to say you have to sell it. Because why did he go through this whole thing to castrate the animal? Because he wanted the animal to work for him. He didn't care. He wasn't trying to up the value of the animal so he could sell it for resale purposes. He was upping the value of the animal so he would have a better animal to work with. So if you force him to sell it, it doesn't matter whether he sells it l'shchita or he sells it for castration, for working, either which way, right, even if he makes a little more money off of it, that's not the knas that we're trying to put upon him. The knas that we're putting upon him is you can't have this animal work for you in a way that's going to make it better for you because you, you know, didn't keep the halacha. So therefore, he says you could sell it for any purpose. It doesn't matter what. Now we're going to say, so who does he sell it to? So pshita b'no gadol ki achir dami. Clearly, even it, right, obviously if he sells it to anybody, that would count. But even his older son, we've seen this distinction, right? An older son, who we're assuming is not somech al shulchano, right? He doesn't eat in his house. He has his own financial whatever. He has his own maybe farm also. So if it's b'no gadol, clearly he's allowed to sell it to him. Because he is ki acher dami. He is like someone else. But b'no katamai, can he sell it to his younger son? Rav Ache Asar, Rav Ashi Shari. Okay? Someone says it's us or someone says it's Mutar. Meme Marzutra, V'amre Lahanu Tre Chaside, Mechafe Ahadade. These two people would even interchange. So he would have the animal castrated by the non-Jew, the other guy would have the animal castrated by the non-Jew, and they would sell it to each other, and in that way, okay, so you see how one loophole doesn't work, but a loophole and a loophole, you know, you can, they would switch it around. Okay. Bye, Rama Brachama. Now we're going to have another question about this lotachza. Hoshiv la kotz b'fi hamahu. What if you put, like, a thorn in its mouth, which basically is going to prevent it from being able to eat? So now they say, what do you mean? Hoshiv la chasima ma'aliyatahi. If you put a thorn in its mouth that it can't eat, that's the same as muzzling. Muzzling doesn't mean the physical muzzle. It means anything you do that prevents the animal from eating. So obviously that's a problem. Ela, so it must be the question was this. Yashav la kotz b'fi hamahu. What if it already had a kotz in its mouth from something else? Are you required to remove the kotz? Or can you leave it in there? Because, right, this is great. You didn't actively do anything. Can you actually be over... This is a very interesting lotas set. Why? Because it's got two acts to it, right? In other words, it's muzzling the animal while you're threshing with the animal. So if you take the animal to thresh while it's already muzzled, is that a problem? So now they're going to say, in this case, so obviously that would also be a problem. We're going to see that inside, that if it's already muzzled by somebody else and you take it to thresh, it's a problem. But what if it's not... It had something in its mouth, which you could say was maybe from a disease or something, and it was preventing it from eating, then is that your problem or not? That's the question. Hirbitz la arimi b'chutz mahu. What if you fear the animal into not eating? You have a lion waiting right outside on the threshing floor, and the animal's so scared from that lion that he's not going to eat while he's working. Is that allowed? Hirbitz la chasima maliyatei. They say, what do you mean? If you put an animal outside to scare it from eating, that's exactly chasima, right? In other words, don't be blocked into thinking chasima is this physical muzzle that goes on. It's any way that you're preventing the animal from eating. So again, they're going to say, Ela ravatz la arimi b'chutz mahu. Let's say there was a lion right outside. Do you have to remove the lion, right, from being there because it's scaring the animal from eating, even though you didn't put it there? He'emim binami b'chutz mahu. What if you put its son outside, okay? The animal's offspring is right outside, which means that, again, he's going to be worried about his offspring the whole time, and he's going to be looking there, and he's going to be focusing on that, and he won't be eating. Haitatz me'ala ma'imahu. What if it's thirsty? And because it's thirsty, it won't eat. Paras la katavlia al gabei disha. What if you put some covering? This is like some sort of skin, I think it is. Right, or shaluk. It's some sort of skin that you put, that's like a cooked skin or something, that you cover the threshing floor with, where the animal can't really see the grains underneath, and it prevents him from eating mahu. So is that allowed? Pashu mehach. Okay, so we had a whole list of questions, and now the Gemara is going to say we've seen this structure before. We're at list. If you do this, if you do that, if you do that, what would be the case? And then it says, well, at least we have an answer to one of these things. Okay, pashu mehach hada. Okay, from all this, we at least have an answer for one of them. Where do we get an answer? From a braita, Detanya. It says in a braita, Rashai baal para lahar iv parato kadesha tochamin adisha harbe. You're allowed to not allow your animal to eat, or to cause your animal to actually be hungrier. I think it's right that you would feed the animal a little bit something before so that it gets more hungry, like to whet its appetite, in order for it to eat more from the disha. The rashai baal habayit lahatir pik'ei amir lefnei behema kedei shelo tocha min hadisha harbe. You're allowed, and this is the part that's important, to put stalks, like hay, straw, on top of the threshing floor, on top of all the stuff that you're threshing, so that it eats less. Because if there's a lot of straw on top, it's going to be hard for the animal to get to the food underneath. So therefore, you're allowed to do that so it doesn't eat as much from the disha. So what do you see here? If you can cover it with straw, so you can cover it with this skin. So they say, no, there's a difference. Shane hatam deka'achla. If you put straw, you can still get through the straw very easily and still see the grains underneath. It might be a little harder than if there was no straw covering it, but it's not the same as putting the skin on top. So therefore, they thought they had an answer for one, but then they don't really. Ibait ema, alternatively, you could say, Rashai balabait la tirpik amir lefnei behema meikara kedei shelo tochal harbe min hadisha. That it's okay for him to do this. Wait, what's the issue here? Beforehand, 1 second. Right. It could be what it means is it doesn't have anything to do with the or case. One is to say it's different from the or because the or is more opaque, let's say, right? It's harder to get through it. But some people say, no, what it means is that you can put out hay for the animal to eat beforehand. It doesn't mean you're putting it on top of all the stuff that it's threshing. It means beforehand you can feed it some straw, right, to fill it up with kind of the cheap stuff so that it eats less of your stuff after. That's allowed. Okay, but that has nothing to do with putting the ore on top. Bamine Rabbi Yonatami Rabbi Simai. Chasmami bachutz mahu. I told you we get to this. What if you put the muzzle on outside the threshing floor? So it says, shur b'disho amar rachmana, v'hai lav b'dishohu. That's on the one hand, you could say, lo tachsom shur b'disho means don't muzzle the animal while it's threshing, right? B'disho, which sounds like while it's on the threshing floor. So if you did it outside, maybe, and then brought it inside to thresh, maybe it's okay. O dilma lo tidosh b'chasima amar rachmana. Or maybe the Torah means, don't, what's the stress in the sentence? Is it bidisho, right? Don't, lo tachsom, bidisho. Or does it mean, lo tidosh bechasima, right? Don't thresh, don't let the animal thresh while it's muzzled, meaning the act of muzzling could have come earlier. Amale, mi beit avicha, right? This is a question Rabbi Yonatan asked Rabbi Simai. So he says, mi beit avicha atalameh. You can learn it from your father's house. Where? It says, Yayim v'shechar al tesht, ata ubanecha itcha, bivoachem. Okay, what does it say to the Kohanim? Don't drink wine or beer when you come to the mikdash. Okay, can you see where this is going? Bivoachem hu da'asur, ha mishta ume'ayel share. What? So it's only forbidden to drink when you come into the Beit HaMikdash, and don't bring the wine into the Beit HaMikdash and drink it there and get drunk. But if you got drunk before and then walked into the Beit HaMikdash, it's going to be okay. What are you saying? Ula havdil ben haKodesh u ben haChol amar rachmana, right? The whole purpose is to separate from Kodesh and Chol and to have the appropriate, you're clear-headed when you're in the Mikdash, amar rachmana. And therefore, obviously, you can't go in drunk, even if you drunk outside the Beit HaMikdash. Ela, ma hatam b'shat bia lo tehe shichrut, hachanami b'shat tisha lo tehe chasima. Okay, and therefore, we're going to say the same thing applies here. Okay, that basically, you shouldn't be muzzled when you're in the threshing floor, whether or not, right, the muzzling is your, you know, you did it at that moment or beforehand. Okay, last issue, which is another very interesting issue. No, maybe there's two more. Tana Rabbanan, ha chosem et hapara, v'ha mizaveg bekilayim patur, ve'eino loke, ela dash umanhig bilvad. If you're chosem the para, let's say you just put a muzzle on the animal, or you put two animals together, if you remember this, you're not allowed to put two different animals to pull a wagon, which is kilayim. If you just put the animals, set them up in the wagon, but you don't actually lead them, or you muzzle the animal, but you don't actually take it to the threshing floor, so you're patur, and you don't get malkot, okay? When do you get the malkot? If you're actually doing the, right, that's why I said, there's two acts here. It's both the muzzling and the threshing. It has to be both together for it to become a problem. But even though it's both together, right, it doesn't mean that the dash, that the muzzling has to happen on the threshing floor, right? This is the whole playing around. The last really interesting issue is, what if you do it with speech and not with an act? Now, the first thing to know is that lo tachsom shor b'disho is the basic source for how we know that if you do a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, if you do a lo ta'aseh that doesn't have a ma'aseh connected with it, which generally we would say would be, it's just speaking, okay, you don't get malkot. And we learn it from lo tachsom shor b'disho, where there's an act, an actual act. So interestingly, there's a machloket here about what if you did this act through words, which is so interesting because this is the basis of lav she'en bo ma'aseh en lo kina lav. Okay, but yet they're going to say, okay, itmar chasma bekol v'hinhiga. Let's say you muzzled it by speech, or you were manhig this kilayim with your speech. How so? Okay, the animal's threshing there, and you say, don't eat, and your animal, you know, listens to you. Or you tell the animal, come on, get going. Okay, but you don't touch it. You don't actually lead the animal when it's doing the kilayim in the wagon. So, is it forbidden or not? So Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, Rish Lakish amar patur. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayav, akimat piv havya ma'aseh. He says moving your mouth is actually a ma'aseh. And Rish Lakish amar patur, kala lo havya ma'aseh. Okay, a kol is not a ma'aseh. Okay, I want to end with one thing about Rabbi Yochanan here, that there's another place where Rabbi Yochanan dafkas, okay, Rabbi Yochanan here says it's a problem, right? But elsewhere, Rabbi Yochanan Dafka says that, let me just remember where it is. Right. Tosfot says that Rabbi Yochanan says, and if you're Mikalel, your friend, you don't get Malkot, because it's in words. So the question is, how could he have said here that the words can give you, right, that there's some, right, it's a ma'aseh, and there he doesn't. So here, what's the answer Tosfot brings? That even though you're not, when you just are mekalel someone, there's no ma'aseh done. But when you muzzle the animal while it's threshing by speech, there's an act being done, which is the animal becomes muzzled. He doesn't eat. The problem is it's not exactly an active ma'aseh, right? But he's forbidden from eating. So because of that, it causes a ma'aseh. Or better is really the kilayim case, where you tell it to move and it moves. So there's an act being done, whereas by Mekalel, there's no act being done. So this is that whole interplay that we've seen many times about how much it's constantly a struggle in the Gemara. How much do we view your words as acts or not as acts? And again, it might be forbidden to curse your friend, but you can't get malkot for it because it's not an actual ma'aseh that we can be, you know, measure. And obviously nowadays when we talk all about it's all what's going on in the outside world, you know, your speech and what your speech can cause, and how careful people have to be with speech. It can incite people. It's a very big issue. How do we view, you know, freedom of speech, all of that, you know, and where it can go. So food for thought.